Welcome to Benign Chaos, where anything seemingly goes, but there might just be some meaning to it all. I'm half the voice of this journey. My name is Shelry.
And I'm the other half. My name is Angel. All right, you ready for the intro? I've got a good intro.
Oh, yes, I love that.
Okay, so, okay. I say it's a good intro. I've been thinking about what to say.
Okay.
You ready? All right, here we go. Okay, welcome back to Benign Chaos. And this week I have been criticized a lot for a decision I've made, and from that dark place I came up with four questions.
Wow, nice. Awesome. This is always the happy podcast. Well, from the depth of despair, I've come up with a topic.
Well, it's been a highly emotional week. So, in fact, you got the phone call on Tuesday. Where?
Yes. So I've been pondering this stuff as well.
Well, let's go with you first, then.
Okay.
I'm actually going to start with number three, if you don't mind. Is that all right?
Okay. Yeah.
Because that's where this all kind of came from. That was the catalyst for this whole thing. When you're feeling criticized and wounded, how do you find confidence again? And I think to add to that, because you get criticized. It's my set of girlfriends who don't agree with my choice, and I love them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They just don't agree with a choice I've made. I still think it's the right choice. I still stand by it. They just don't agree with it. And I love them. So when someone's hurt your feelings, someone you love that's hurt your feelings, what do you do about that? But anyways, go ahead.
I don't know if I have an answer. You know, I think I'm still working everything out. It's hard.
Yeah.
It's hard because you go to these people. They're like your haven where you go to feel free to feel what you want to feel and to think what you want to think. And when they maybe are hurt or angry with how you're openly feeling or deciding, then you feel like your haven isn't the haven anymore. Like the storm has come into that port and, you know, that's supposed to be your safe place.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's a lot harder than if it's just a casual acquaintance or a stranger. So I don't know what works. I know what I've done. I have, I think after feeling stuff, you know, you just, initially you're just overwhelmed. At least I am. I don't know, you know, anybody else, but sometimes at that very moment that it happens, it's really hard to be rational or think at all. And so I try to just let myself be sad or angry without doing anything to anybody else. Just, you know, kind of put myself aside and let myself feel whatever I'm feeling.
Can I stop you there real quick? Mm-hmm. I don't know about you, because we're different people, but when mm-hmm. I do that,
yeah.
I will just stir myself up into a storm.
Uh-huh.
I will think about it, and I'll just, you know, brood on it. And then the mm-hmm. next thing you know, I have worked myself up into just a full-on anger.
Yes.
Or
yes, no, I totally get that way sometimes, depending on how hurtful it was, the experience. But I let myself do that now. I used to not. Well, I used to, and then I'd stay there. But now I like will call a friend that I really trust or somebody that is not part of the situation, and I'll just be angry. And usually the person that I know that I trust will let me be angry. And I curse a lot because I feel that it really helps me just be angry and let it out and just be like so angry. I have to get past that wall of emotion before I can be positive again.
No, I think cussing or if you say whenever somebody gets hurt, there's always this, you know, ow or oh or, you know,
yes.
or oh, you know, and then a cuss, you know. And I think it helps deal with the pain of in this case, it's physical pain of getting, you know, you're slamming your thumb with your hammer or something, you know, and definitely when you have that, when you're just bursting out, and, you know, it does hurt.
Yeah.
I mean, excuse me, it does help. Absolutely. It helps.
And I try not to be rational at that moment because I used to. I try to say, Shelry, calm down. Don't be mean. You love these people or whatever. No, I say whatever I feel like as long as I'm in a trusted environment. And even if it's just by myself, and I'll stomp around the room and, you know, I'll just let myself be angry. And eventually I calm down. Eventually, now, I didn't used to, but sometimes I even have to get to the point of writing in my journal, something that I probably won't keep because I'll never want anybody to see it. Mm-hmm. But just write really angry things that I'm feeling.
Right.
Just get it out because I don't want to keep it inside of me.
And that could be part of the ritual, too. You could burn the piece of paper. And then yeah. all that hate and anger is not still in the world.
Right. Right. So that's what I do to start the process is I let myself. I think one of the things I've seen that I don't think is a positive way of dealing with it is to go through that in a very public manner. Because there's nothing worse than saying something that you regret later. But yeah. everybody's heard it, and everybody knows. And they may not have, you know, they just may be a casual person. But now they have an impression of that
right.
instance, you know. And I have done that. You know, everybody's done that, gotten mm-hmm. angry in public. And it's never pretty later, and it doesn't help the process. It just kind of makes it worse, actually.
Well, and also, I don't know about you, because I've done that as well. It's kind of your responsibility to clean up the mess afterward that you've made. Mm-hmm. And the bigger mess you've made, the more cleanup
yes.
you have to do, and the apologizing
yes.
and
yes.
and humility.
I've done that. Just recently I had an instance of that, and I had to apologize and stuff. So, yes. And then you feel like crap, and you're just like, oh. So, yeah, I do that in private now, except for that one instance recently where, but no, it's a big reminder why I do things in private.
Mm-hmm.
And I've witnessed more recently some people doing it in public, and that's another reminder.
Right.
Why I
right.
do it in very private. Because, you know, when you're really angry or sad, it doesn't mean it's what you're going to feel forever.
No. And it's almost always, it's like this, what I'm going through right now, it's a group of my girlfriends that I just adore. I mean, they're my main girlfriends.
Right.
They just don't agree with one of my choices.
Mm-hmm.
And so, it's not that I hate them, and it's not that, you know what I mean?
Right.
It's just this situation that we have that they don't agree with something that I'm doing.
Right, right. So y'all are caught in an emotional, tumultuous
yeah.
situation. Yeah.
Yes, yes, because everybody's involved. Everyone's emotionally involved in this. Mm-hmm. So it's not like, it's not like I'm deciding to eat peanut butter for lunch. They're like, no, don't eat peanut butter.
What are you thinking? You're crazy.
I'm making a choice that's going to affect everybody, you know, and so yeah, that's, you know, so they do have a right to say what they
you know. Yes, yeah. Well, so far in your life, how have you dealt with it?
I've been thinking about this a lot recently because when we talked about this too on Tuesday when I had my emotional phone call with you, I have helped develop a culture of gossip
uh-huh.
with my girlfriends, and I'm trying to change that. So how do I deal with it? I haven't dealt with it well. I've been, you know, I've criticized other people's decisions. Like, you know, and now that I'm getting a taste of my own medicine, it's
yes.
it's not very nice. So, and I was thinking about this earlier, you know, Gandhi said, you have to be the change that you want to see in the world. And of course he was, mm-hmm. he was talking about, you know, he helped free a nation, and here I'm just trying to, I'm just trying to quit gossiping.
I see the parallels.
But well, I do figure it has to come from me first. You know, I have to quit gossiping. But and then that comes back to when you get hurt by somebody, we were talking about this before, how do you process the pain
mm-hmm.
without gossiping?
Right.
And it's really hard. And you asked, how do I deal with it? I have not found a solution yet. Because you've got to process that pain. You have to. It can't just stay
yes.
inside you. But how do you do it without gossiping, without calling up your girlfriend and said, oh my gosh, you won't believe what so-and-so just did to me. You won't believe what so-and-so just said. So,
right.
I mean, I actually haven't found a solution.
Well, just going back to what I was saying, because this reminded me of that, what you're saying is that with the person that I really trust, that I talk to and feel comfortable, when she was going through some stuff, She tends to be a much more calm, rational person through everything. You know, she rarely gets upset. And she was really upset about this. So, like, I egged her on to just cuss out these people, knowing that I'm not going to think badly of them. And I'm not saying that because I really think that she, in general, thinks about this. But, you know, I would say, I'm going to cuss a little here, but I would say, yeah, they're jackasses. I can't believe they did that. What a bunch of bastards. And finally, she just joined in, and I think it was a bit of a release, you know. But it wasn't, I would never, we've never talked about these people ever again, you know. And I don't think good or bad of them. I just, you know, sometimes you need that explosion.
Yeah. The thing is, I haven't figured out a safe way to have that explosion yet. I agree with you, you need the explosion, but I have not figured out a safe way to do that yet.
Yeah, that's the hard part. That's the hardest part.
Because the problem with me just being by myself and stomping around my room is I work myself into a frenzy, and I'm much angrier by the end of it, than I was at the beginning.
Yes. So yeah, for me, the only two ways have been with that, you know, talking to a safe person or writing. Those are the only two.
Writing's a good idea. I like writing. Writing does calm me down. If I'm just in my own head, doing my own thing, it gets kind of ugly. But writing, for some reason, writing works a little bit better.
Yes. And a few physical activities help too. Like when I played paintball, I could totally see that as being cathartic when I'm angry, you know, just like shooting people and going, yeah, so there, you know, like pretending they're the other people and stuff like that, just in a safe environment.
I think another thing is I get in fights with my husband, and everybody does. And invariably, the next morning, I'm a lot calmer. So there's something to be said for sleep and time, too, I think.
Yes, yeah, not to sometimes getting a separating yourself from the situation. Yeah.
Because I apologize. I'm always apologizing the next morning, saying, I am so sorry. I was obstinate and, unreasonable last night. I've slept now and I'm really, really sorry.
Was too much soda and no sleep, I swear. Yeah. You know, sometimes when it's, I mean, it can be with family too, which is harder, family and really close friends, but I find that sometimes after I'm past that explosive part, that I reevaluate the situation. And again, this is easier when it's casual people or whatever, but, and decide if it's a situation I want to be in. If I'm the one causing the bad behavior, then I look and about changing myself. But if it's things I can't control, like other people's behaviors or an event happening, then I sometimes I just decide not to be part of that anymore. You know, and that helps a lot when you can let go of things and not keep torturing yourself about the event over and over again in your mind. Like if I had only done this or if they'd only been better or whatever. So sometimes stepping away from and ending a situation helps me.
No, I think that's good too.
Oh, it's not always possible because, you know, when you're really, really close to somebody and you have a really good relationship with them, then the moments that are bad aren't worth letting go of the whole thing, you know?
Actually, I just had something happen with another girlfriend recently, and I had to talk to her, and it was going to be a heavy conversation
I hate those.
because she was keeping a secret from me, and I found out. And I had to talk to her about it, and my hands were shaking when I called her. And that was so funny. He was saying, like, well, just don't, just, because we both play Warcraft, just talk about your Warcraft characters or something. You know, you need, don't talk about it yet. Don't talk about it yet. And I knew that I wouldn't be able to be normal with her on the phone, that I had to put it off for a day and a half, and I knew that I was just going to have to call her and talk to her. And everything worked out fine. Everything was fine. But yeah, my hands were shaking when I called her. And but it did work out fine, but sometimes you do have to have those conversations.
Yes, yeah, you do. Sometimes you do, and they're hard, but I can't not have them. You know, there's some people that can go through life and hide things, and whatever they do, but I can't. It's like this physical force that pushes me, you know? Like, I don't know. It's weird. But I can't not deal
Sure.
with it.
Yeah. Especially when it's someone close.
Yes. Yeah.
You know.
Yes. And, you know, sometimes I've had to just, like, you know, you have to deal with this situation right now, or you had to call that lady. I've had to make hard decisions. They're sad sometimes.
They are, yeah. There was, now this happened a long time ago, but there was someone talking about leaving a situation, and I decided to leave the situation. And I did it by cutting this person off because I couldn't deal with what was going on, the drama going on. And so I just cut her off, and I told Matt I did something really, really cruel to somebody, but I didn't do it to be cruel.
Right.
I did it, I just had to get myself out.
Mm-hmm.
But it really hurt, you know. You hate doing that, but
yeah.
It's the only solution that I came up with. There was maybe a better solution. I had tried so many different things to try, and finally, I was like, you know what? I'm just getting out.
Yeah, yeah. It's kind of the emotional equivalent of the, you know, like you see in the movies where this elite team goes in to do a job, and someone falls, and like he's out in the middle. So anybody that tries to rescue him is gonna be shot. And you're just like, we got to go, man. We can't do anything. Just go, go, save yourself. It's kind of emotional equipment, I think.
Yeah. Yeah. Because you don't like doing that to people. But I, like I said, I tried other solutions and nothing had worked. I tried for a year other solutions. Mm-hmm. And finally I said, you know what? I'm out of here. But
yeah.
It was a cruel act that I felt was necessary.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay, let's get to happier stuff, okay? So when you're feeling criticized and wounded, how do you find confidence again, Shelry?
Well, once I'm past all the negative parts, which takes time, you know, you can't feel great again right away, I don't think. I can't. I don't know about anybody else, but I try to do the little things that make me happy again. I've made a list. I thought about that, and I was like, I need a list to pull out when I'm feeling down to remind me of the things that make me feel good again so that I can do them. Because sometimes when I'm down, I don't feel like doing anything. So I do little things. Like I really enjoy feeding the squirrels and birds outside and watching them play or just going for a walk, you know. I think that helps me get from the angry, sad part to the happy again part.
Right.
You know, kind of normalize my life again and just do simple, happy things.
Well, if you could, the first question I wrote was, when you're feeling lost, how do you ground yourself again? And I think you're talking about, that's what it sounds like to me, is you're talking about grounding yourself again.
Yeah, and bringing myself back to a more normal state of mind,
mm-hmm.
out of the emotional turmoil,
mm-hmm.
so that I can start to, you know, just enjoy things again and not be still caught up in all of that. Remind myself, that's not the only situation in the world. That's a situation going on with me. And, you know, I need to remember there's like 50 million other things in the world going on that have nothing to do with this. And also, I think that, you know, you and I have done a lot of reflection on ourselves through our lives. We reflect a lot about our behavior and what's going on. But I think, you know, just like there's some people that's really good at math or English or foreign languages or riding a bike or running, whatever, I think there's people that are good at reflecting, and then there's some people who don't do it for whatever reason. You know, maybe it just doesn't occur to them or they're not interested. And I've noticed that people don't self-reflect. There's a lot more drama in their life than needs to be. Just because they don't observe, you know, it's like having an elevator that falls. And then instead of trying to figure out the problem and fix it, you use it again, you know. It's like,
right.
You're doing the same thing. You're going to crash again. What are you doing? But I think there's a lot of people. So I think one of the things I do is kind of, once I'm past the really emotional part, and I'm kind of more normal, one of the reflections I do is try to see if, it's because the people just cause their own drama, or if there's a real situation, you know, and that helps me gain confidence again in my ability to deal and, you know, to start thinking of the situation as, you know, is this just a artificial drama, Or is there a real issue here? And
That's
that makes
interesting.
me a little more sane and feel like grounded or confident in my abilities to function in the world. So, what about you?
Oh, well, I'm not quite sure where to go with that.
Look, a puppy.
No, I was thinking what you're saying is it a real situation or is it just drama? I think it's a real situation, but then people get worked up. I think that I was just trying to think of the situations I've had, and that seems to be a lot of it. It's a real situation, but people really work themselves up, and but you kind of have to get back to the kernel, get past all of the maelstrom around it.
Yeah. Well, I guess an example of the not real situation that the person creates drama is I've known people that were really messed up in their life, and they'll accuse you of things. Mm. You know, you'll just say a casual comment that meant nothing, that everyday people aren't going to, but they go into this emotional tailspin.
Right.
And then you start thinking, what did I say? I'm sorry. You know, but once you get a distance from it, you can tell that that's not a real situation and it's artificial drama.
Yes. And I haven't had that happen in a while. The last time that happened to me was the person who I withdrew from her life completely. But that was quite a few years ago.
Mm-hmm. So, I mean, that it helps to differentiate what's going on, you know, because that can really give you confidence to realize, whoa, wait a minute, this is just weird. This is not normal.
But as far as grounding myself again, I've been writing, I don't know, I've been getting, I don't have a list. I have things that ground me. Well, my husband, he's easy.
Awesome.
Well, we go to parties. I get really nervous at parties, super, super nervous at parties.
Uh-huh.
And he has to babysit me. He's such a sweetie. I tell him he's not allowed to leave my side.
Aw, that's sweet.
So, anyways, and so he grounds me. But as far as doing things, I think making a list is a good idea, because when you are emotional, it just – and also you're saying that some people don't self-reflect. I think some people don't ground, and I'm a person that doesn't do that. And I think it really does help you – you know, it does help you have a more – I don't know, a more even-keeled life.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I think that's good. I think it's an excellent idea. And one I've been trying to do.
Uh-huh.
Because I don't.
Well, I just wrote my list today because you brought this topic up. I thought, you know, sometimes I get lost. I need to have a reminder.
So, oh, okay. Actually, I just thought of something. When I wrote that list, we're talking about two different things. When I wrote that question, when you're feeling lost. Now, when I'm feeling lost, one of the main things I do is I sit down with a pen and paper, and I list like nobody's business.
Uh-huh.
And I will start listing, okay, what do I want to do with my life? What do I even want to do today? What kind of personality do I want to have? What do I want my house to look like? So I definitely use listing to ground myself always.
Okay. Okay.
That's a big one for me.
Right.
Is to just go, okay, I'm so lost. I can't figure out what I want to do. Just sit down and start writing it out. So yeah, listing helps me a lot.
So your husband and listing.
Yes.
Very nice.
For when I'm feeling lost.
Yeah.
I've never tried that technique for when I'm feeling emotional.
Well, I thought, you know, I have a tendency to, when I'm sad or angry, go listen to things or watch things that exacerbate that. Like, you know, the whole people that are sad that like country music listen to a lot of country music when they're sad. Even people I know that don't listen to country music turn it on when they're sad. I'm just like, that's the last thing you want to do. That's horrible. I thought maybe if I listed things to do that were positive when I was feeling that way, that might be better. Remind myself, hey, wait, you know, turn on the happy music, not the, my wife left me, my dog got run over. Yes.
I do that. When I'm feeling sad, I always put on a comedy. A comedy or a romance?
That's very cool. See, that's a really a good thing that I never thought about, but that's good. 'Cause I think it helps bring you out of.
Because you start laughing.
Yeah. And I try to smile. I've noticed that whenever I force myself to actually physically smile, that I start feeling better, and I don't know why.
Do you do it when you're by yourself too?
Oh yeah. Yeah,
Really? That's
sometimes when
cool.
I'm down, I'll just smile. I'd be like, "Okay, Shelby, just smile." And it works. It may only be for a little bit, but it works. I don't know. Yeah, feeding them squirrels and birds, smiling, that kind of stuff.
I think that now this is the kind of the sex next the sex thing.
We're adding a new section to the podcast.
This is the next thing. Although sex does help when you're feeling down. Talking about grounding with your husband. Okay. When you're feeling sad, how do you make yourself happy again? And I did that on, I was writing that on the, on our website, my little joy list.
Yes.
And I noticed that, and we've talked about this before, that exercise and eating well
Yes.
definitely help. And, I'll have to pull up the list. I don't remember what else I wrote. But I did start writing a list. I guess it was the same thing because I was feeling so blue. And I was thinking, okay, I don't want to feel blue anymore. What can I do to quit feeling this way?
Right.
And oh, here we go. Walking this. I don't know about you, but walking outside.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. It's an immediate,
Yeah,
simple thing.
just walking out in the sunshine. And then riding helps. And then you had put feed the squirrels. I put pet the dogs and cat.
Oh, yes. Yeah, see? Animals are amazing.
Yeah.
That's all I can say is that animals, they're like just living their life right now. That's all that matters, you know, hanging out, being here. Well, I don't know what they think. I'm just talking about the behaviors I observe. I've never been a squirrel or a dog, so they could be thinking completely different things. Like, watch this person, you know, if I do this, they'd throw me a nut, you know? I don't know. But they just seem so now and happy.
Yeah.
So that I feed off of that.
Yeah. And the thing about dogs, you can't really say, well, I guess you could say about cats, but they just are a little bit different in the way they show. But there is an unconditional love with dogs that really can make you feel a lot better.
Yeah. I
'Cause
know, they're always happy to see you.
they are, and it doesn't matter what you look like, it doesn't matter what mood you're in, it doesn't
No.
matter. Yeah.
If you've only been gone 5 minutes,
Yeah.
like, my God, where have you been? Been waiting for you forever.
Yeah, that's dogs.
I do that are harder to do. Like those things we just talked about are very immediate and they're easy to do. They're simple, they're but there's some things that I really get a lot out of that are harder to do, like exercise, stretching, meditation, that I get a lot out of. But when I'm in the middle of doing them, there's a lot of fighting myself going on. Like, I don't really want to be running. Do I have to go another half mile? Why am I doing this? Just take a walk, you know?
Right.
So I like doing them, but they're not the first form of defense that I use. Usually it's the simple things because they're immediate and I don't have to push myself to do anything. So, but yeah, they definitely help.
Yeah, I noticed with both exercise and eating healthy, and you're right, it is fighting, and it's the same with eating healthy. You know, you can't just go to McDonald's, which is super, super easy, and you
Like
actually
a
have
healthy Happy Meal.
to. Do y'all have this on whole wheat with natural grain-fed beef?
Yes. Can you grill my chicken with olive oil instead of frying it?
So McDonald's is super easy, but and so once again, it's an argument you have with yourself. But I've noticed the long-term payoff for exercise and eating healthy is phenomenal.
Yes. And also, there's something I noticed that in my whole life, my whole adult life, when I was most happiest was when I was very disciplined and doing these things that gave me long-term benefits. I was much more content and happy.
That's interesting because I feel like you've done more I feel like I still lack a lot of discipline, and you're farther down that road than I am. So you can say, "Yeah, I did this, and I haven't done it yet." So I haven't.
Well, I'm getting back because I slipped a lot. I went to grad school and it kicked my butt. And I'm trying to get back into my regime because I was really happy and it was nice, yeah.
Now that is nice.
Yeah. I think maybe it's a little bit of, when you're in a relationship with somebody, whether it's a friend or a significant other, if you constantly tell them one thing and then you do something else, then they don't learn to trust you.
It's true.
And I think the same thing, this is my feeling for me. The same thing happens inside of me. If I keep telling myself I'm going to do something and I don't, it's kind of like I don't trust myself anymore. And therefore, I have kind of a bad relationship with my own
Wow, that's
person.
interesting, but it's true. I think it's really true.
Yeah, that's how I feel. I'm trying to be better, at being responsible to me.
It's a lot easier to break your promises with yourself than it is to break your promises with others.
It sure is. It sure is. It's amazing how you can just, and a lot of it for me is like, there's this little part of me that wants me to do all the bad stuff. Like, just go get, Taco Bell. Come on. Or just have five sodas. It's not gonna hurt you. Come on. It'd be fun.
That sugar high and caffeine high will be fun till the crash.
Yeah, and there's this part of me that's really bad about I'm trying to be good. I made all these decisions in the morning to do something, and then all of a sudden, about midday, that little voice starts kicking in, and I'm just like, stop, stop.
You know,
Leave
there's this thing I read. It was recent. I cannot remember where I read it. It was just recently that you only have so much willpower in a day,
alone.
and that once you use it up. So if anything that you want to get done or you want to do, if you use all your willpower at work and it took you a lot of willpower to get through your projects at work or whatever, then it's time to go to the gym after work. You've used all your willpower up and you're going to blow it off.
Yes, no, I totally agree with you. And I think we talked about this before, and I mentioned that I only have enough strength or energy or willpower to do three major things at any one time.
Right.
And right now, my health and exercise, all that stuff has been put aside for the other things that I'm doing. Yeah, I agree. And I wish we had a little meter so we could see where our willpower was. Be like, oh, I spent too much on that. I gotta stop.
Be cool. Willpowerometer.
Yes. Warning, warning, willpower low. Oh shit, it's only 9 in the morning.
Put to question number four.
Number four is really sad. Like it reflects the really most or the worst moment of this past week, I think, for you.
Yeah, when you feel surrounded by darkness, how do you find the light again? You got to understand, I was getting bombarded by people, all my girlfriends. There wasn't a single girlfriend other than you. I could call and talk to you, but you're not in this situation. Me and all my girlfriends were in this situation together. Anyways, they were all of them bombarding me.
They were outside your house with pitchforks and sticks with lights.
Will not do that decision.
Come out here. We're coming in.
So, but I love them. I love them all. And I have to say, even though we've gone through, I mean, I'm 41 years old. We've gone through situations before and we've managed situations much worse than this, and we've made it through intact. So it just was a very emotional week. And yeah, and I wrote question number four.
Yeah. It's just the same thing as all of those,
Yeah, I think so too.
And I think the hardest part of all of this is no matter what you do, in the end, you're alone going through it. No matter how much people care about you and everything, you're the only one that has to deal with your own emotions. No one can do it for you. So
Right.
you're alone in this journey. And you can get help and you can, you know, get direction. But in the end, you have to do it. And that's the hardest, hardest thing, because I think that's why I fall back on crutches, you know, like going and watching something on Hulu instead of dealing with something I don't want to, because I'm the only one that can do it. Nobody can do it for me. And that's overwhelming sometimes. It really, really is. That, from my perspective, that's like super overwhelming.
I think that I was thinking about this, and I think when you're really in a really dark moment, sometimes just time is the only thing that will get you out of it.
Yeah.
Which kind of sucks.
Yes, yes. I think, again, it's the matter of reminding yourself to just go do something that has nothing to do with this and that you enjoy.
You had mentioned that. What was it that you had said the other day? Just you were talking about being in this situation and just not that you had to, you still have the responsibility of dealing with the situation, but just remove yourself from it for a little while and then go back to it. Was that what you
were? Yeah. That might have been our conversation. So, yeah, that helps because, you know, like you said, going to sleep and then waking up and having a conversation helps because you're removing yourself from the turmoil of it all.
Mm-hmm.
You're giving your brain a break so that, you know, it can go back to a healthier state. Because sometimes, you know, you can get your brain firing up and it's going all down the wrong path.
It is. It is. I'm 41 years. I know, at 41 years old, you think you would have already learned that you can work yourself up into a frenzy, and it's never any good, ever.
Yes.
You think, because I've already so many times worked myself up to in the frenzy and then just gone to the person and said, oh my gosh, I thought about this, and then I thought about this, and I forgot to mention this the last time we talked.
I remember that thing 2 years ago.
And you think after doing that, I don't know how many times I've already done that, and it has never worked out. You think I would quit working myself into a frenzy, and yet I still do it.
Sometimes I also think it's like, I like to use analogies because I'm a very, again, a visual person, so I do these analogies. And, you know, like you're on, say you're going through life in this horse and carriage, and when somebody hurts you, it's like, you know, you're trying new paths and stuff, but if somebody hurts you, it's like, they slapped your horse really hard and it got out of control and it heads back to where it knows and it shoves you in that like rut. So now your wagon's back in that rut again, you know. It's like, oh, it gets, you know, all of a sudden you're not in control anymore and you head back to those places and get stuck there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think sometimes getting out of the situation and chilling and, you know, dude, just doing something fun. I think that's why it's really important to have a lot of friends and people that can, you know, you just hang with. I mean, sometimes I call people when I'm really angry or upset, not to talk about it, but to talk about something else.
Right.
So that I don't have to deal with it, you know.
You had said you, kind of moving the topic a bit, but you had said that you you printed out the definition of happiness?
Yes.
What did Wikipedia say?
Wikipedia, without any citation. Well, no, there's a little bit, but it says happiness is a state of mind or feeling characterized by contentment, love, satisfaction, pleasure, or joy. And a variety of biological, psychological, religious, and philosophical approaches have striven to define happiness and identify its sources. So it's something a lot of people think about all the time. You know, what is happiness? Where does it come from? What does it mean? Blah, blah, blah. And it's, I think it's one of those things like, because I'm not a big fan of psychology, although I'll use pop psychology for fun, but I think it's kind of like the idea of consciousness. I mean, no one can say, oh, here's evidence, here's the definition of consciousness, here's where it happened, you know, no one can, they just use it as if it does exist and we just all accept it. Well, I think it's the same thing as happiness, it's this, we experience this thing and we're trying to define it and stuff, but you can't really.
I have a theory.
Okay, give me.
My theory is that happiness is the break between, because you do really grow a lot and learn a lot about yourself and people in the world during the times of turmoil, but they're hard. And so you have the little happiness breaks where everything kind of eases up and you get a breather and you have a really good time to, okay, that was awesome. You know, let's do this. We're having such a good time before you have to start your next growth period.
Yes, I could see that. I mean, every time some little thing happens in the remodeling that goes well, I'm all happy. And then inevitably something else goes wrong and I get upset again. But, you know, those little moments when things come together and really work out.
Yeah, they're just, to me, it's just a break. You have your little happiness break because you don't really grow a lot when you're happy. You just kind of hang out. Kind of like, I guess, like the squirrels and the dogs. You live in the moment.
Yeah, because there's nothing pushing you to change. Why would you change?
No.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a really good one. I like that. I like happiness.
I do too. I do.
Whatever it is, I like it. And I often wonder things like this, if you were a different species that were studying us, like would any of this matter to you? You know, like maybe the ants go around and they're feeling all these things that we have no idea, but we can't notice from their behavior what it is. And to them, it's really important. But to us, we're like, look at the ants, you know, they go and get food and go home. And, you know, I often wonder what would we look like from the outside of a completely different species that doesn't understand what we experience at all. It's hard, it's almost impossible to answer that as a human.
It is.
So, yeah,
To be
maybe
up.
someday we'll be able to, but it's, you can't because you still see everything through your glasses, you know.
Right. Yeah.
So, I think we talked a lot about the sad aspect of life and how to get out of it to happiness.
Yes. Well, I don't, yeah, like you said, the sad moments are necessary, but you don't want to hang out there.
No.
You get there, you do what it is you have to do, and it's, and I'm ready to move right on.
Yeah. And you see some people get stuck there and it's sad in itself.
It is. And you,
Like,
yeah.
hello, come out, come out, come out. There's a door right here, you can leave. Yeah. So.
Okay, well, do you have anything to add or should we wrap it up?
I think we've covered a lot.
Okay.
In a very relevant thing for us this past couple weeks.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, I think I would have had a hard time talking about anything else because this has kind of been consuming my mind lately. But I feel I've, after talking to you on Tuesday and talking, actually, it's starting to, like you're talking about, we were talking about, processing, because you have to
Yeah.
do it, processing the situation and all the emotions of the situation. I'm starting to get past it. I'm starting to move on.
And sometimes, you know, I get so tired of it. I'm just like, I don't want, I just stop, brain. Just stop working
Yes.
because I'm tired of just going through this and I'm over myself.
Yeah. Yeah, I feel that way too.
Yes, just stop. So I think this is a good place to stop our podcast.
Well, thank you for joining us.
Necessarily our brain, but and so we'll meet again next week.
Right. Bye-bye.
Bye. Thanks again for joining us on Benign Chaos as we take a rambling journey through the universe. I'm Shalri,
And I'm Angel.
and we bid you adieu,
Sayonara.
arrivederci,
Ciao.
and
Arrivederci.
farewell. Until next time.